Lord, for Steve and Keith as they teach, and all the teachers, the preachers and teachers all around the world today, Lord. Yes. Give them unction. Give them, rebuke them for any foolishness they were going to say that wasn't in accordance with your word. Fumble and foul up the message of the false teachers, and clarify and make true and clear to all hearers of the teachers that are preaching your word. And we're going to give you the credit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay. Good morning. I am so glad that you're here. I want to say my daughter's here, Valerie. I want everybody to see her. I love her. This is my oldest daughter. Raise your hand, Valerie. There she is. Listen, you know, it is so great to love your family. You know, I love my family. I go all over all the time. I hear people that don't like their family. That bothers me. Yes.
Sorry.
Go, no, no.
What started Val has hurt us, but she's memorized.
Oh, great. Let's give her that.
Ooh.
No, no. That's perfect timing. Please. Okay. Valerie wants to recite 8 verses. We do that in this class. And just so that we're hiding God's word in our heart.
Amen.
Okay, it's taking forever. So I've been encouraged by other people that have done it. So it's from Psalm 119, 57 to 64. It's from King James Version, by the way.
We don't do that.
Okay. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I have entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all those that fear you and those that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes.
That was like perfect.
Do you have a sticker?
No, I don't have that.
All right.
No, this hidden sticker is what goes on your name tag for memorization. So thank you, Tom.
Okay. All right, I want to go. I want to touch a little bit on last week because I think it's important. Remember, I talked about a foundation, and we had great insight on foundation. And I also talked about driving the nails that sometimes will pull out, and they got to be hit back in. And so as we talked about that, we're talking about Galatians. And as I look over the whole book of Galatians, the first 4 chapters are about reproof and rebuke. And the way it works out is there's 4 chapters of reproof and rebuke to get to 2 chapters of exhortation.
Amen.
And, you know, for me now, when I first started wanting to do this book, I was telling somebody else, when I first started wanting to do this book, all I wanted to do is I wanted to go over here. I wanted to get right here, you know. This is where I want to be here. This is what I want to give to people. This is what I want my children to have. This is what I want my friends to have. You know, I want everyone I know to be free. I want everyone I know to have liberty in their life. Free from the bondage of sin.
Amen.
Free from the bondage of Satan. I want them to be over here. But guess what? If I'm going to do the book of Galatians, I can't get there without going here first. And there's twice as much of this as there is that. So if we're gonna, but I want you to get here. But the only way here is through here. Okay, does that make sense? Somebody sent me this week, a good friend of mine, somebody I loved for a long time. They sent me this math problem. Now, this is a math problem. Solve for X. Christ plus X equals the righteousness of God. Does anyone know? Can anyone think? Oh, there's a lot of hands going up. Let me, let's see. Christ plus X to equal the righteousness of God. Right there.
Cross.
Somebody else?
Nothing.
Oh, I like the cross thing. Christ is with the cross. But the X is nothing.
Amen.
There, he was right. There's nothing. Christ plus nothing gives us the righteousness of God. Anytime you mess that math problem up, you're in trouble.
Amen.
Anytime you mess that up, you come up with the wrong answer. That's what he says in the first four chapters. Anything plus Christ is a perversion.
That's right.
It's a perversion of truth. Somebody told me today, if you know the truth will set you free. Okay? I hope you see what Galatians is doing. I hope you see the aim. I hope you see where we're at and where we're headed to. Okay? This is like a map. You know, MapQuest shows you that little thing at first, right? On your when you're following your GPS, you see the whole thing. This is it. We're here and we're headed to here. We got to have truth before we can get to freedom. Okay? It bothered Paul. It bothered God, obviously. Romans is a great example of this. Galatians is a great example of this. There's many other examples of this, that we need the truth. And the truth is that Christ plus nothing equals the righteousness of God. It takes faith. It's only faith. All we have is faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ alone, right? You've heard that here before? I love it that Bob says it. Faith alone in Christ alone. It's plus nothing. If you think, and at this time, these guys were dealing with Judaizers. Judaizers were telling the people in Galatians, they were telling them, oh, Paul told you this, but did he tell you about this? And they said, what? Well, if you really want to get close to God, you need to do this. They were adding things in. Have you ever been around people? Listen, many of you in here are maybe not as old as me, but you're younger. But you've been around people that have tried to tell you adds to the gospel, right? Has anyone got an example of maybe what someone tried to add to the gospel for you? You're a Christian already, but they're telling you you need something else. Anybody had somebody tell you you needed something else? Yes, sir.
Catholic friends insist that I must go to confession with the priest.
Okay. That's an add, right? That's a plus. That's perversion. Yes.
That you cannot disobey one command of Jesus.
Oh. Did you hear that? They're going to have, what do they say? The hell is expanding, right? I guess so. There'd be a whole lot of us to fit in there. Yes.
That since I did not speak in tongues, I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit.
Is that a perversion?
Repeat that, please.
That because she didn't speak in tongues, she didn't have the Holy Spirit in her. Okay? Perversion. That's not what the Bible says. Okay,
amen.
Anybody else?
Good works.
Huh?
Doing good works.
Listen, we are in a moralistic age. Moralism is the new rage. It's the new thing going on in the world. Do you know that there's some unsaved people that do twice as much stuff as I'd ever do for the Lord? Do you know them?
Oh, yeah.
These guys are taking off and going, quitting their jobs and going and doing, whoo, I'm saving the world. And that's not bad, but moralism is taking over. And people think they're good enough.
Right.
Right? They think their righteousness is good enough. And that would be adding, right? That would be adding to the righteousness of Christ. That would be adding to God's righteousness. And we can't do it. Anybody else? One more before we go on.
Steve,
yes.
I have a friend who's Mormon, and they're totally into the good works thing, and they earn their way, and they also, she's explained to me how I could earn my family members' mm-hmm. way into heaven by doing things for them on their behalf.
I'm gonna live any way I want. I'm gonna let my daughter get me in.
No pressure there.
Okay, don't anybody do that. So I was wrong on that saying it. Okay, let's look at God's word and see what He says about this. Okay, look at chapter 2. Chapter 2. We were following this outline, kind of. Chapter 2, and we're gonna look at Verse 16. Yeah, you can grab one of those. I didn't have a whole lot of extra. But verse 16. Somebody want to read that in maybe an ESV? No, I don't have another one. Sorry. The ESV, somebody? Go ahead, Valerie, nice and loud.
Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified.
Did you guys hear that? What does God's word say? We are not going to be justified just as if you'd never sinned. We are never going to be to that point. We are never going to be to that point by any kind of works. You cannot work your way to heaven.
Amen.
You cannot work your way to heaven. look what it says in, someone else read verse 20. Verse 20. This is the way Paul looked at it himself.
I am crucified with Christ, but it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Listen, we've made a trade. We've made a trade. We've made a covenant. We've made a deal. My faith in Christ gives me the righteousness of God. That old person, the old person you used to be, is dead. I had somebody say this before. I think you'll like this. How dead is dead? How dead is dead? Can dead do this?
No.
Listen, dead can't breathe. Dead can't make a... Dead is dead. We need to know that we, like Paul, are dead. As we think about dead for a minute, I think we should read that verse again. Think about dead for a minute. This is what Paul is saying about his life, his accomplishments, his mind, his any kind of power he has. You can't use any of that, right?
Amen.
If you're dead, what does he say about dead? Read the verse again. Somebody read a different version, maybe, whatever. When you're ready. Verse 20. 120.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
And verse 21 goes right along with that, where he says, I do not nullify or I do not frustrate the grace of God. I accept the grace of God in my life, right? You know, nullify, if you nullify something, you make it a what?
Void.
Void, no account. Christ, anytime we try and do anything without the grace of God, we are nullifying his grace. You know, I used to do that thing when we would we'd talk about somebody getting saved, and we would say about how you would throw out the life preserver, right? How that Christ is our life preserver, and you throw it out to the drowning world, and it goes to the drowning person, and they can be saved, they can accept, and they push the preserver away from them. Right? Have you ever seen it?
I've seen that, but that ain't right.
No, it ain't right to do it. It ain't right. You should be grabbing onto it. Paul says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. I take it in and I hold on to the grace of God. Okay. Oh, foolish Galatians in chapter 3, he starts off like this. I'm telling you about rebuke and reproof. He is reproving these people again. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's deceived you that you're going to add something to Christ, to your salvation? Who has done that? And listen, he said that there may, like I said before, there may have been, even been people there who were in Jerusalem who saw Christ after his resurrection. And I like verse 2. Verse 2 kind of, verse 2 is would go with our modern day vernacular, kind of. I just want to know one thing. This is what he says to him. I want you to answer me one question. Just one? I just want to know one thing. Everybody, anybody ever heard somebody say that before? Huh? I just want to, just answer this one thing. Well, here it is. Here's what Paul's saying. Just answer this one thing. Look at verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Nothing else.
Which chapter?
Chapter 3, verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2, I'm sorry. Look at, I don't want to hear any, just one. This one thing. Answer this to me. That's what he's saying, right? Do you guys see that?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he says? I just want to know one thing, Mike. Just one. And then, listen, these are hard words. This is to a whole people group. Can you imagine sitting here and hearing it? Okay, Paul has written this letter to Koinonia class, and now he's going to say this. Are you so foolish? Can you imagine sitting in that group hearing this letter being read to you and going, you know, is he looking at me? Am I the foolish? Anyway, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and are you now made perfect by the flesh? What a great question.
Yeah.
What a great question. What is it that saved you? This one thing I want to know. Answer me this one thing. Was it the Spirit or was it by your works? And the answer, obviously. then he goes down to say this, because we're talking about faith. And he talks about Abraham, and he was faithful. Faithful Abraham. Have you ever heard that before? Faithful Abraham. Look at verse 10, he says this, trying to tell him more about this. He says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Okay? You cannot do it under the law. The law tells us we are wrong.
That's right.
The law tells me I'm wrong. The law tells me I'm wrong. I cannot make it. I can't reach to what the law has put out there for me. I could never do it. Have you ever tried? Have you ever tried to do everything right? Have you ever failed? Yeah, it doesn't work. I can't do it.
That's right.
I can't do it. But he says this, if you're under the law, you're under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Wait a minute. Cursed.
Damn.
I'm not making it. If I'm trying to make it by the law, I'm not going to make it. If you're trying to make it by the law, you're not going to make it. If you're trying to make it by being a good person, by not swearing, by being good to your neighbor, by speaking in tongues, by doing good works, you're not going to make it.
That's right.
That's what it says. If that's the way you're going, you're not going to make it that way. He's telling them bluntly. Look what it says, verse 11. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. No man or woman is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. It's plain to see, right? It's plain to see that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. Now listen, we're not throwing the law away. We're not getting rid of the God's law. Psalm 119, like Bert teaches, is all about God's precepts and His laws in our life and how we should follow those, right? We're not throwing away the law. But the law is not, we know that the law is not what does it. Yes, sir?
A good corollary verse to that is Philippians 3:9. It says, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of our own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith.
Hallelujah!
That is exciting. That's exciting. And the only way is to know the truth.
That's right.
The only way to know the truth. And also to beware of perversion. This is a beware, too. beware of perversion. You know, we can, people can come to us and very moral people, like the Mormons, she was saying, they can try and tell us stuff, and you could be led astray, right? How many steps does it take to get on the wrong path?
One.
So we had to be careful, right? Yes.
I was just thinking, too, that's such a challenge, too, because there was a woman who used to come to my mom's house. My mom was a believer, but would come as a Jehovah Witness and come faithfully. I was thinking, if you didn't know Jesus and someone was always being kind to you and not just sharing one time with you but came alongside you, I mean, the importance of sharing your faith on a regular basis to the same people, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and it could do what?
It could either lead you to Jesus or lead you astray.
Yeah. Yeah, it can. It can. I actually had. I think my house is marked. I don't know if they have some special spray paint they put on the curb. You know, you could, maybe they put on special glasses. I don't know. But whatever it is, they don't come to my house anymore.
Right.
They avoid me.
You're
I see them on my street, and I'm like, I know I got the door open. They don't come by. They don't come by. You know what it is? I get them on the front porch because I don't let them in my house. Sorry, that's just the way I am. But I get them on the front porch and I look at the youngest one. That's what I do. I always go for the youngest. And I look them in the eye and I say, you know what? If there is a God, I said, if there is a God, and He's give us His word, I said, you know, when you're by yourself, this is what I tell them. I think this is why they never come. They let them come back. I say, when you're by yourself and you're in your bed, you know, ask God, is what I'm believing true? And you know what? I guarantee you this. God is so faithful, He will not let you believe a lie.
That's right.
And you know what? I see in their eyes when I tell them that, I see them, they go, and the older one's going, hey, what will you have? And they don't come back. But you know what? I believe that. I believe if a person is really seeking God and saying, God, am I believing the truth? That God will show them. God will show them. He is not the kind of father who's going to let you go and go the wrong way.
Amen.
He's not that God. He is going to tell you. And the same here, too. Believing the truth. Someone comes up to you and tells you something else. How many times have you had people, here's something new, right?
You're nothing new under the sun, bro.
They want to give us something new out of God's word. This is it. You're only saved by faith. He asked a lot of questions, man. Paul, really, he asked a lot of questions. In these verses, and he talks about us, about the law, and about our inheritance in the law. He talks about in the fullness of time. Does anyone know another place in here? It's going to talk about the fullness of time. Does anyone else know another place in Scripture where it talks about the fullness of time?
Malachi 2:15.
Where it talks about?
He's talking about Christ coming.
Right.
Genesis 3 talks about the good news of the Messiah.
At the fullness of time,
right.
when the time was right, something was going to happen.
Right.
Do you know that all of the Old Testament, I wanted to put this up too, all of the Old Testament, people looked forward
right.
to Christ. They looked forward to the cross. They looked forward to the perfect sacrifice. That's all the Old Testament. That's what they did. The Messiah's coming. They would take their hands and they would take a sacrifice. And once a year, they would put their hand on the sacrifice. This kind of gets me. They would put their hand on the sacrifice's head. And then the sacrifice would be killed while they had their hand on it. Remember we're talking about dead? This animal would be killed while they had their hand on it. It was a sacrifice for their family. And it was all pointing to the sacrifice. And they did that by faith.
Right.
They brought those animals by faith.
Right.
That their sins were going to be taken care of for that year. They were looking forward to the sacrifice that God said would come in Genesis. That would be the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. we read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and we read that it was that he was the Lamb of God. John said, right? Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins. But it's throughout. They were pointing, it all pointed to this. Everything they did was by faith pointing to the cross. Now, let's see. He is, and he will be, right? He is that sacrifice. Now, today, we point back to the cross.
That's right.
We point back to the cross. That's where the sacrifice happened. That's what we're accepting. We accept what Christ did on the cross. That's how I'm saved. I talk to my kids. I say, how are you getting to heaven? If they say anything but the blood of Christ, it's the wrong answer.
That's right.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do to get into heaven. Nothing we can do to be right with God. Except the blood that was shed for you and me. And die to ourselves. That old man inside, the Bible is so clear about an old man and a new man. And how there's a battle right between the flesh and the spirit. Anybody have a battle? Have you ever battled the flesh in your life? Have you ever? Just me, right? Just me. I'm the only one who struggles. I'm the only one who has to say, "Oh, why did you say that, you idiot?" You guys never said that, but me, I said that. Have you ever said that? No, you probably never did.
I say it daily.
Why did you do that? Oh, you know that was wrong. God, forgive me, right? Listen, God, forgive me. I fight against the flesh. It's part of where we're at. We have the sacrifice. The only thing I can do is accept. That's the deal. I can have faith that when Christ shed his blood, it took away my sins. Yes.
Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are being sanctified.
That's right. Only one. We can all share the same one. We don't have to bring a separate sacrifice. Right?
That's right.
Whew. Okay. Chapter 4, I want to go there if we can. I'm trying. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No.
Go to chapter 4.
Do it.
Chapter 3, verse 3. I got to do this.
Do it.
Come on, brother.
The word perfected. We sometimes think that word means to become flawless. That's not what that word means. That's a legal term. When you buy a house, you sign a purchase agreement. But when you go to closing, title is perfected in you. When we were purchased by Christ, we are perfected at the purchase agreement. We don't have to go to closing. It's already closed. The deal is closed at the time. That's why it says, having begun by the Spirit, what that means is your title is perfected at the time you were begun by the Spirit. Can't take the title away. It's gone. You are purchased by the blood.
Right.
Just wanted to...
It's great. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, have you suffered so many things in vain? Has this all been a waste? Right? Has everything you've done... Listen, Paul was... As he was talking to these people, too, I read a couple verses. You can look with me. 4:11 says this. This is what he was thinking about these people. He's writing this to them. These were people that he had led to the Lord. But look what he says. I'm afraid for you. Read another version. Tell me what it says. I'm afraid for you. But what's another version say?
I fear for you.
Huh? I fear for you. I fear for you. Anybody else got another? Anything else it says? Huh? 4:11.
I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain.
Listen, he was really concerned about these people. I've given you the gospel. I told you it's Christ alone. But I see now you're adding others. I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid for you. Wouldn't it be terrible for you to see someone you love going after the wrong thing?
Amen.
you know, the context of this, and this is so applicable to today, is even if these people are believers, we can have a tendency here to try to prop up our own faith by our own good stuff. Going to church, doing this, doing that, and we feel good like we're ourselves on the back. And frankly, I think we need to be reminded as believers of the gospel in our life every single day. Mm-hmm. That we don't prop up our own faith. We simply walk in it and thank God for it. And when we sin, we confess.
Don't add nothing to that. I was talking to Sister Nancy. I told her, I've been learning to do this. I get up in the morning before I go to work, and I look down at my hands. It's my word picture. And I say, God, this is what I got. You guys see it? This is what I got. Here's my offering. I said, you're going to have to do everything else.
Amen.
Right? The gospel to me is, I can't add anything to it. I don't got anything. My righteousness is filthy rags.
Amen.
I don't got it. I got to go like this. This is what I got. I'm willing. I'm willing today to try and do what you want me to do. Right? That's what a great word picture. When you look at your hands now, I want you to think about that. What do you have that wasn't given to you? Think about that for a second. What do you have that you didn't get from somebody else? Nothing. We didn't get anything from anybody else. Look, what he's afraid for him. But you know what? There is some encouragement. There is some encouragement in chapter 5, verse 10. I don't want to leave you that he's so afraid for him. Look at what 5:10 says. He was afraid for them, where they were going, where they were headed. But look what he's look at verse 10 and look where his confidence is. Somebody going to read that? I will listen nice and loud, please, for everyone.
I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be.
Okay, so where's his confidence?
In the Lord.
And he's confident for them too, right?
Right.
I'm confident for you in the Lord. That's great. He doesn't leave them like you're lost. You guys took the perversion, right? He doesn't stay that angry kind of way that he's been and call them foolish. Listen, there's where it's going to start. After that is where we start to get the exhortation and not rebuke and not reproof. The Bible says that all of his word is for reproof, rebuke, and exhortation. And this book has got all three. And so we're heading from here, and we're headed to liberty and freedom. You know, I want you to think for a minute with me. Okay, there's 12 people changed the whole world. Turned it upside down. That's what I heard people saying. Right? That's what they said in those days. They said, these guys they've turned the world upside down. How great would it be to have a class like this and us to get over here and become those kind of people led by the Spirit. Right?
Right.
Knowing the truth, being led by the Spirit, what a difference we would make. What a difference. For the Lord, what a difference we would make in this world. You know what it is to be led by the Spirit? By saying, God, is this what you want me to do? I feel, God, I sense this is what you want me to do. And do it. Have you ever done that before?
Oh, yeah.
How does it make you feel? Anybody want to tell me? How does it make you feel when you feel like you've done what God wants you to do? How do you feel at that point? So, yes.
Peace.
What else? Anybody else?
Just a blessing from being obedient.
Humility.
What do you want to do again?
Do it again.
Do you want to do it again? Yeah, you want that opportunity to do it again, right? And every time we do one of those things that are led by the Spirit, God, it's a repercussion. It's a sounding out. It is a wave that we send. It's a tear in the darkness when we do that. A tear in the darkness of this world. You know, in Romans it talks about people giving God a bad name. Do you know it's possible as a Christian to give God a bad name? To give Christianity a bad name?
Absolutely.
But do you know that it's also possible for us to bless His name? You know that verse in 119 that we talked about so much, about when they saw me, they were glad. Right, Bert? When they saw me, because I trusted in the Lord, so when they saw me, they were glad. How great is that? Do you know you do that to some people? So many times we look this way, and we don't see that people are looking this way. You ever have a Christian person that you think, they smile, they're trying to live by the Spirit, you can tell, and when you see them, you're like, there they come. Right? And you're ready to go over to them, right? Right? Do you know that that effect is so great, but do you know that you can have that same effect on other people and you don't know it? You can have that same effect. And it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement. Anyway, thank you for this morning. Is there any comments? Listen, I don't want you to sit there and see something great in God's Word. I can't see it all, I promise. And you probably already know. I can't see it all. But if you see something in God's Word that jumps out to you, don't be shy on trying to add back and say, you know, I read, what about, you know, or add in what you think. Okay? Don't be shy on that. So, go ahead.
I've been blessed to have the privilege and honor to be pointing people to Christ in the last couple of weeks. And the John 15:5, where he says, apart from me, you can do nothing, is real powerful. And I know that it's the Spirit. And you know how you get anxious and you want this person to receive Christ, and you're praying for him and you're witnessing to him. And if you could, you'd squeeze him by the neck till they said, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's up to the Lord. And then to realize that, well, that's how I feel. I'm so frustrated. I don't know what else to do. But it's up to the Lord, so just relax.
Don't squeeze him by the neck.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody had to say it. That's right.
In Jesus' name. Thanks for the math problem, Jed. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, okay? I pray God is speaking to you and helping you understand the book of Galatians. Dear God, we come before you and... God, we thank you for the truth. We thank you that you've done the complete work. That, God, there's nothing we can add to it. God, if we could, we'd be back under the law and we would fail and we wouldn't make it. But, God, it's all of what you've done. God, would you please help us to grab that truth and hold that truth. And, God, would you help us to be exhorted by your word. To live in freedom, to live in liberty. God, to enjoy you and the life you have before us. God, in Jesus' name, God, help my brothers and sisters and me, and amen.